And our guest brought food. So that makes you triply happy.
That is always big bonus. Right. Not just brought food, brought delicious food.
All right, we're going to start early. We had our guest for 9 o'clock, and she's here. I'm like, come on in. Let's get started.
Absolutely.
So we want to welcome Mary Lou Keel from the Penn State Ag Extension Group. Mary Lou, good morning. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Really close to the end.
And more importantly, thank you for bringing the goodies.
Oh, you're welcome. And can you guess the secret ingredient?
Well, okay. We'll get to that in a bit because the Ironhead, you put food in front of him and it's like gone.
Yeah. Right, just, oh, it's delicious.
Mine is still here, okay? You couldn't wait to eat yours.
I picked up a hit of chocolate. I think chocolate is in there.
You've got it.
Okay, very good. Now,
it's probably not really the secret ingredient we were going for, I'm guessing.
All right, so Mary Lou, let's start with some basics. We always like to start that. Tell us something about yourself. What's your experience? What do you do for Penn State Extension and such? Tell us about you, please.
Okay. I have been working for Penn State Extension Nutrition Links for the past 15 years. My role is training specialist, and over that time, I have taught about 100 nutrition educators to teach classes across the state of Pennsylvania. They work out of the local extension offices and provide series classes to help people learn how to eat better for less.
Okay.
Love it.
And it's the for less part that that perked me up.
Yes.
All right, because I've been to a supermarket this week, and I'm looking at some of the prices like, holy.
Oh, those prices just keep coming down. There's cheap food everywhere. It's amazing.
I don't think so,
what?
Pal. All right.
Then he woke up.
So, Mary Lou, there's an open-ended question. All right. Is it really bad right now, or is it a lot of hype about food prices and so on? Is it truly, oh my gosh, or is it, okay, we're making a little too much out of this? What do you think?
I think the prices are really going up. We can tell by our bottom line on our bill. You buy the same items, and your bill is a lot higher. And it just seems like it's creeping up slowly. Maybe you don't notice it from day to day, but Your pocketbook is starting to notice it, and it is significant, especially for limited resource audiences like the people that we work with, who have less money to work with and need to make the best choices they can.
Now, is everything going up, or just maybe certain things? Like I've mentioned, I've walked past the meat aisle. And I want to buy some beef. I haven't bought beef, Mary Lou, in a while because I'm looking at the price of beef and thinking, holy mackerel, are you kidding me? Let me go for chicken or something like that. Is it everything going up or just certain things or whoop, like meat going crazy?
Well, I think it's kind of general. I think there's lots of strategies that companies use, whether they increase the price or they reduce the package size. But I do think in general we're seeing food price increases because there's increases across the production, distribution, all those areas of where we're getting our food from. So I think it's kind of widespread.
Well, it's gotten to the point where I only now have caviar 3 times a week, and I've even cut back the surf and turf meals only 2 times a week now. So just to give you an idea of those of us that live the high life on the radio salaries, it has definitely impacted all of us.
Penn State Wrestling must pay you a lot.
Oh, that's where the big money is, no
holy
doubt.
Holy mackerel. Actually, Mary Lou, there's a question. You mentioned package size. Occasionally I'll come across something and I'll pick it up and I'll think, gee, I'm fairly certain this used to be a lot bigger. Does that happen a lot? The smaller, I guess, what is it? Same price, smaller package.
Right.
That or the package may be the same size. It's just what's in that package it's a little less is what I've noticed.
Yes. I think that's a strategy, that is used so that we don't notice it so much.
And sure is a lot of air in this bag of chips.
Feel the impact. But one of the things I would say about your gourmet meals is when you're eating out, that's one thing, but one of the things that we share is that if you eat more of your meals at home, you're going to save a lot more money, and you can also use a variety of lower cost protein sources, not just beef, using eggs and cheese and some milk and things like that to make up the protein at a lower cost.
I want to talk a little bit about that, because the what you'll hear a lot, and what I used as an excuse when I was a poor, struggling college student, is, well, I mean, all I can afford is these potato chips and chocolate bars and soda. I mean, what else? There is the perception that if you are on the, if you're struggling financially, that the snack foods are kind of the option that, well, they're just more affordable. I can't afford the luxurious vegetables or, and when you actually look at the prices, I know people use that excuse. I used that excuse. How much merit is there? Because especially in this area where we have the farmers market and I mean, you have some opportunity to get some lower cost produce even than certainly what you would get in a city, for example. I'm just wondering, are we... Well, are we telling ourselves lies to justify poor diets?
I mean, I think you're kidding yourself, because I think if you would put some foods down on the table, like a pound bag of baby carrots for 99 cents, a soda that's over a dollar, okay, there you're already getting a much better nutritional deal for less price. If you skip the soda and have water and the carrots for your snack, you're going to save money. So I think it's all about smart shopping, really, and not thinking that, oh, these are the cheap things and I'm just going to fill up on those.
Yeah.
You can really do some great combinations of different items that are inexpensive and get a very healthy diet, whereas if you rely on the snack foods, you're not going to get much nutrition. You'll get a lot of empty calories is what we call them.
And you end up, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am here, that you end up kind of chasing those calories, because the, like potato chips and the sweet and salty foods tend to be, I don't know if addictive is necessarily the right term, but the old, well, you can't eat just one chip.
Right.
Well, yeah, so not only are you not, you're getting empty calories, but it's like, well, that was a lot of empty calories and it didn't fill me up.
Right.
Let me go grab some more empty calories to try to fill myself up. Whereas, again, the old, if you get, you know, chicken and vegetables and a good glass of water, it's like, oh, that actually is more satisfying.
It fills you up.
Yeah.
Yes, it's satisfying. And, you know, that's one of our teaching points, the My Plate, which is the five food groups that we're helping people to be aware that they should use that in their meal planning. And having half your plate as fruits and vegetables, which is going to fill you up in a satisfying way. And one of the reasons is because they're high in fiber, and that kind of sticks with you more than a sugary drink and chips, something like that.
Now, we've talked about this in the past, but when I was a kiddo, we had four food groups. can you go over it? Because it's fascinating to me to see the way our thought process on what foods we need and how much and all of that has evolved over the years.
Changed over time,
pretty substantially. Sure, yeah. But for those that are old school and, well, no, I know the four food groups. You got your meat, you got your fruits and vegetables, you got your dairy, and you got your breads, and that was
that's
what we were told, and it was...
Okay. Well, we have fruits and vegetables broken out as separate groups. So five groups right now. Since 2011, this is the plan we've been using. The fruits, the vegetables, the lean protein, grains, and dairy.
Let's go to the protein, because again, when I was a keto, we were taught it's meat. it wasn't proteins, it was meat.
Right.
My wife is vegetarian, and so the number of different ways you can get the needed protein, and we do need protein. I don't think anybody disputes that, but let's maybe delve into that a little bit, because again, it's not just beef or chicken that can provide the proteins that we need.
Right. And one of those is the secret ingredient in your black bean brownies.
Oh, boy.
Beans. Using those to extend meat dishes. And they are a high quality protein that's much less expensive. We have various recipes that we use with our participants, such as Sloppy Joe's with beans, where you use half meat and half is from a can of beans of your choice. And even the meat is your choice. You don't have to use the more expensive beef. You could use the ground chicken or ground turkey, whichever's on sale this week.
Yep.
So that's a good way to think about how to make your expensive protein go further and also increase your nutrient intake. Again, you're getting fiber from those beans, lots of vitamins and minerals, and a low cost.
All right. Now, again, when the food came in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, my partner here couldn't wait. He woofed down. Well, what am I holding here, Mary Lou? What is this?
Okay, this is a black bean brownie. One of the things we work with our participants on is being able to make easy recipes. So this recipe is a can of black beans and a box of brownie mix, which
right?
They will often get at a food pantry. And both of those items,
yeah.
Put them together, it makes a nice, healthy snack. It's really easy to make. You just drain the beans, fill the can, put the beans back in the can, fill it up with water, mash those beans all together, either in a plastic bag or in a blender, mix it with the brownie mix and bake it, and you've got a nice once-in-a-while treat for your kids or a birthday or an occasional use, you know, because that's something we're not going to suggest that people should eat brownies every day, but we all like our treats, right?
Darn it. And I thought for sure we were going to
I like
able
brownies
to
every day. And we've got more, so Mr. Ironhead, well, go ahead and have another one. This is really good.
It is.
And yeah. You'll notice we just, in our classes, we actually prepare food and give small tastes to the participants. We're not a food distribution program, but we're a nutrition education program. So we're trying to let people taste things before they go out and buy the ingredients to make it, and then they'll know this is something that I think my family will eat.
Yeah. The black beans are just correct me if I'm wrong, but probably an underappreciated in terms of the overall nutritional value. They really are one of the best things. I try to make sure I get black beans in my diet on a mm-hmm. on a pretty regular basis, just because I have a buddy who is a nutritionist, and I don't even remember all of the details now. I just remember many years ago, he's like, man, if you can get black beans in your diet on a regular basis, you're going to be ahead of the game. And so I've just heeded that. But on multiple fronts, right, they are a really good thing for anybody to be
right.
eating.
Protein, fiber, vitamins, minerals, they're a great thing to add to your diet and a great way to save money.
And if you can make them taste like a brownie,
that's
all
really
the better. Come on.
That's really good.
Do you see any general specific deficiency that Americans, let's say Americans in particular, like are we generally lacking in proteins? Or I wouldn't guess it would be proteins, but I mean, it's like fruits and vegetables, or is it just it varies person to person, area to area?
Well, I think fruits and vegetables are probably under-eaten, shall we say.
Instinctively, that's
yeah.
what it seems
and,
like.
And maybe vegetables more than fruits, just because the sweet taste is something that's appealing. But if you notice on nutrition facts labels, there's four nutrients listed, and they are potassium, iron, calcium, and vitamin D. And those are kind of the four leader nutrients that we are lacking in our diets. And that's the reason they are putting those on the nutrition label. We used to have vitamins A and C on the label, but people are getting enough of those. So they changed it to highlight the food content of these nutrients that we need to get more of. And like the potassium is coming a lot from fruits and vegetables, calcium from our milk products. The vitamin D is only from animal sources, and iron mostly from animal sources, but you can also get that from beans and some of the non-meat sources as well.
With the, again, we're talking about black beans in the brownies, and there's no way you would eat that and instinctively say, oh, man, black beans.
Nope.
How much have smoothies, because I don't ever remember, I mean, sure they were around, but I mean, that was not something I ever heard of when I was a kid. Late 80s, early 90s at least, I don't remember anybody talking about smoothies.
Right.
But we talk about ways to maybe try to incorporate some things in the diet instead of just, hey, let's go eat raw kale.
Yeah.
Like, there are some
exactly.
things we can do. Smoothies, I'm guessing, a pretty effective way to get kids who maybe aren't partial to vegetables in particular
yes.
to be able to get them to consume them.
Yeah, it's amazing when we make a green smoothie at a school class and the kids just love it.
Yeah.
And you really can blenderize that kale down to nothing but liquid, and it enhances the flavor of the smoothie. So we often will put, you know, like pineapple, strawberries, kale, yogurt, and a little fruit juice
yeah.
in there and some ice and whip it up. And that's a great thing. Think about that as a kid who doesn't want to eat breakfast can have a glass of that before they go out the door in the morning. So it can be a really effective way to get some nutrition in.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Two things. I need another brownie or two.
Well, yeah, we do.
All right. Also, when we come back, you folks have a program called Nutrition Links, which I'll be honest, Mary Lou, I never heard of until we scheduled you to join us today. This sounds like something that a lot of folks should be checking out. Sounds like a pretty interesting thing. So, folks, stay tuned for that. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Got to take a break. I got to have a brownie. And we will come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the later part of the hour.
You want to ask a question? My mouth is full. I'm sorry. Bad timing there.
Timing
really
is
good.
Everything.
They are good. Mary Lou, I want the recipe for this. All right, this
okay.
is good.
We got it.
Mary Lou Keel from Penn State Ag Extension. Now, Mary Lou, I mentioned you folks have a program called Nutrition Links, which, again, I'd never heard of this until we were arranging for you to join us today. What is that? Let's start from scratch. What is Nutrition Links? What is that?
I guess we're a well-kept secret. we are a program funded by federal dollars to provide nutrition education to resource-stressed audiences. We operate across the state from the local extension offices who provide support. And we teach a series of classes to people to teach them more about how to reduce food waste, how to plan their meals, shop for their meals, fix their meals, and eat their meals in a healthy manner. And we usually see them about 6 to 8 times, so we hope that over time they're able to learn some new behaviors and implement them. They come back to our classes, share their ideas about what's working at home. We have a lot of discussion, and they really seem to enjoy that interaction with their peers to share new ideas. And we always provide a food taste or a food experience at each class, so involve them in the cooking so that they, you know, feel confident and have tasted the product before they go and buy the ingredients, spend the money to buy those ingredients at the store and purchase it for their family. We partner with a lot of local agencies, whether it be churches, Head Start, community centers, schools. And we can provide classes at their location or at our extension office. Last year we saw about 15,000 people, 7,000 adults and 8,000 children between our two programs, which are FNEP, or the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program, and SNAP-Ed, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Now, is this for anybody, or is this maybe for particular groupings?
We do have eligibility requirements, and for FNEP, you have to be a parent or caregiver of children or a pregnant woman, and also meet income guidelines, which are 185% of the poverty level. And for SNAP-Ed, you can be any age group. We work from preschool to seniors for people who are eligible for food stamps, or also the same eligibility, the 185% of poverty level.
Okay. Now, we'll mention there is a website. Let me see if I got this right. extension.psu.edu/nutrition-links.
Right. And if you go to extension.psu.edu and just type in nutrition links, you'll find our information. We have a series of newsletters posted on our website that we have about 20 different newsletters that deal with all sorts of different new nutrition and food-related topics, from cooking beans to what are those sell-by dates on the food in the grocery store, to how to shop at the farmer's market, how to plan your dinner, you know, focusing on different ingredients that people might be wondering about. So they're really helpful. You can either read them on the website, you can download a copy, and so that's a nice resource that we have available for everyone, because for those people who wouldn't qualify for our program, Extension does offer other food-related programs for people with a higher income level.
Okay. Now, you mentioned classes. These are all physical, like in-person classes. Is there any online stuff?
Yes, we do have online. We got quite good at that during COVID, as you can imagine. We hadn't been as involved in the online resource, but we started doing Zoom classes. We also have online pre-recorded classes available. We, however, like to work with people face-to-face. We do feel that the actual cooking experience and being together is part of what helps our success. So our current model is you have to be with us at least 50% of the time. You can do 50% of your classes remotely, but 50% of the time we want to be with people in class.
All right, and all of this is free.
Yes, all is free to qualifying people. And one of the things that we do as part of the program when they complete the series is we give them a bag of kitchen tools. So we're helping them implement the changes that we have suggested to them. And we give them a food thermometer, which I have here, and I'm showing the guys, you know, to keep their food safe and cook it to the right internal temperature. A magnet that gives you all those temperatures so you know which foods have to be at which different level. We give measuring cups, a vegetable brush, a cookbook with easy recipes that take 30 minutes or less to prepare. And we feel like quick and easy recipes is one of the key things, because we're competing with people wanting to go out to eat, go get fast food. And in one of our lessons, we talk about how in that 30 minutes that you might have gotten your kids together, got in the car, drove to the fast food, stood in line, tried to decide what you want, order, wait for the food, sit down. You could be at home and have your meal prepared, and it would be much more healthy, lower in fat, lower in sodium and calories. So we're trying to help people, you know, see that this is a win-win for them.
That makes perfect sense, Mary Lou. All right? Which is why people are not doing it, because it makes perfect sense. I mean, that makes absolutely perfect sense. Now, you mentioned you do some things with youth or kids.
Yes.
Now, is this like in-school type programs, or what is that?
Yes,
exactly?
We do some in-school programming. We also do after-school programming, summer camps, youth recreation centers like Boys and Girls Clubs, things like that. And, you know, one of the key things about working with youth, although we found it's very important with adults too, is make it fun. You know, if you go in there and say, oh, we're going to talk about nutrition today, they're going to all go, oh, goody. But we make it fun. Like, here's one of my examples. If I hold up a bag of sugar to the kids and say, did you know if you drink one 20-ounce soda a day for a month, you will have consumed the equivalent of this 4-pound bag of sugar?
Ooh, wow.
And they go, oh. you know, you think about it one at a time, it doesn't make any impact. You think about it over time, and it's a little bit more sobering, I guess. We give them sugar cubes and let them take their favorite soda, calculate the amount of sugar in that soda, and stack up the sugar cubes as to how much sugar is in that bottle of soda. So the one bottle of 20-ounce soda has 16 teaspoons of sugar in it. Nothing else from a nutritional standpoint, just sugar and calories. And that's pretty eye-opening to a lot of people, especially if they're the person who drank sodas throughout the day, just sipping along all day long, maybe drank four sodas. And they go, oh, boy, that's making an impact on my teeth, my nutrition, my pocketbook.
Yeah, no question. We talk about sugar and salt, sodium. Why have we – well, I guess start. It seems that we – have a lot more sugar and salt in the average American's diet than even 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Is it just that we're eating out more at the fast food we're talking about, or just kind of across the board? Because, again, having some sugar, important, certainly having some salt. I mean, you need some sodium in your diet, but the degree to which we have seen the increases there is pretty startling. Is there a reason for what? Where is it just that we're not getting the natural sugars, if you will, with fruits in particular, mm-hmm. but with the diets or?
Well, I think it's processed foods primarily, you know, and that's one of the things we tell people: shop the perimeter of the store, stick with the fresh and unprocessed items yeah. as much as you can. And as we're teaching people more about cooking, and, you know, a lot of people have not cooked a lot. They need to learn some of the basic skills and practice them, and you use the fresh item that doesn't have the added salt and sugar, and then you can add a little bit to your taste or a small amount for a recipe, but you're not just loading it in there the way some processed foods yeah. can do.
That's an interesting thought. I was in a supermarket this week. You said shop the perimeter.
Yep.
Yeah, you go in, there's the produce section on this side. Then you go back here. Okay, here's the meat section in the back. Then you go to the far corner, which drives me nuts. There's the dairy section there in the far corner.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, all the, I guess call it healthy stuff, is around the perimeter of a store.
Right. Yep.
I guess I never thought about that. Is that intentional, or is that just where all the things get plugged in?
I don't know. Maybe they want to make it hard for you to get the good stuff. But I think, you know, oftentimes when we're talking about nutrition and saving money, we only think about the store. You know, we say, oh, well, make sure you have a list. Don't go to the store hungry. And there's a lot more to it than just that, because making a list is one thing, but you better plan before you make your list. Plan your dinner meals for the 7 days. Think ahead about what's on special at the grocery store, or, you know, clip those e-coupons and so on. And then a big thing is to check what you have on hand so you don't buy and duplicate things, and then you end up wasting things. That's one of the things I think that we realize is that it's the whole process and food waste that ends up costing us money. It's not necessarily just our bill at the grocery store, but the fact that we take it home and then we don't use it, it goes bad. And it's estimated that 30 to 40% of the food supply in the U.S. is wasted, that we don't use it effectively in the proper amount of time, and we end up throwing it away. And that is a huge impact on our food dollar.
Wow. Okay. Mary Lou, can you stay for one more segment? Can
sure.
Stick around a little more? All right, because we need to get another commercial break in here. All right, we're talking with Mary Lou Keel from Penn State Ag Extension. Folks, these are really good tips that, don't go to the store hungry. Okay, there's my downfall right there. I don't do that. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Seasons change, and so does the equipment you need to handle those changes. From mowing to harvesting and taking care of snow, Dodder Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has what you need to get it done. Still doing construction? Kubota has all the equipment you need. For landscaping, Dodder Equipment has what you need with equipment from Kubota, Steel, and Land Pride. The outdoors isn't all work and no play. Kubota, Honda Power Sports, and Suzuki have that fun covered too. And Dodder Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has them all. Want to keep your home warm and cozy? Check out the Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces. If you're cutting your own firewood, Dodder Equipment is your steel dealer with a saw that fits your needs perfectly. Dodder Equipment for Kubota, Honda Power Sports, Suzuki, Land Pride, Steel, Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces, and a great selection of trailers and accessories. See it all now at Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us online at DodderEquipment.com.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
All right, we've made a decision. We need more food guests. All right, we need more food guests.
Absolutely right.
All right, come on. Mary Lou Keel from Penn State Ag Extension joining us just for a few more minutes. Again, folks, check out the Nutrition Links program. That's something that, again, there, Mary Lou, right, there's an eligibility there.
Yes.
Correct? Mm-hmm. All right, up close right there.
Excuse me. The income guidelines they have to meet, and also in the one program we provide it for parents and caregivers of children as well as pregnant women. The other program, the SNAP Ed, can extend the lifespan.
Okay. Now, Mary Lou, I'm not getting political here, all right? We're not doing that. But one of the current buzzwords this year, make America healthy again, is exactly what this sounds like. Now, I'm not getting political with you, but that's what this is. We want to make America healthy again.
That's right. And our part in that program is teaching people to eat better for less. That's kind of our tagline for our program, that We are trying to help people plan healthy meals, eat at home, exercise more, keep their food safe, and overall, as we mentioned before, reduce food waste so that their food dollars are going further.
40%, did you say earlier?
Yes, 30 to 40%.
That's incredible.
It is.
We just throw it away.
Well, you know what happens. You buy it with the best intentions, and then you take it home, and it gets lost in the produce drawer at the back, and you say something smells in there, and it's that broccoli that you thought you were going to fix, and you never did. And one of the things, one of our nutrition educators of our 50 across the state, and they are so full of good ideas. They live in their communities. They work with people. They pass along all the good ideas. One of our educators had an idea of put a bag in the freezer. And when you have little bits of leftover vegetables from a meal, like a little leftover broccoli, oh, I don't really want to save that for, you know, tomorrow, it's not worth it. Mixed vegetables, carrots, whatever, you keep putting them in this bag in the freezer. When that bag gets filled up, you make vegetable soup. And then all those things that you would have thrown away or let go bad in the refrigerator because you said, oh, I'll eat that tomorrow, and you never did, then they become the basis for another meal. And the other thing that we talk about is leftovers. We call them planovers. So you think about, like, maybe another phrase is cook once, eat twice. So maybe you make tacos tonight, and then a couple days later you have taco salad. You roast a chicken for tonight, you make chicken salad or chicken stir fry later in the week. Or even designate a night toward the end of the week as a clean up the fridge night, and you're going to pull some of these extra things together and make a pasta or a stir fry over rice or something like that. So you're always thinking about how can I use this food in many ways so that I don't waste it. And also just, I'm a great labeler. Take a roll of masking tape and a Sharpie and put the name and the date of everything, whether it's in your fridge or your freezer, and you're much more likely to use it when you can see at a glance what it is and how long it's been there.
Mm-hmm. Folks, this is good old-fashioned common sense. That's all it is, all right? Mary Lou, did COVID change anything in regards to all this? I mean, 5 years ago, we weren't supposed to leave our house. Oh, my gosh. So you didn't have a choice. You had to cook at home. Mm-hmm. Did that melt away? Did that really change things thinking?
I think during that time period, a lot of people got kind of crazy about cooking at home and, you know, buying all the ingredients. Whether they have gone back to their old ways afterwards, I think sometimes they probably did just because you felt like you were let out of the box and you were allowed to go out and eat out and things like that. But hopefully people have retained some of those cooking at home habits because that is just such a key factor. That if you can eat more meals at home, you are going to save money. Think of all delivery charges, tips, the cost of food in a restaurant, and also nutritionally, you're going to benefit from making your own at home that's going to have less fat, less sodium. You can add more high-fiber offerings and so on.
All right. Now, I think I saw physical activity mentioned among things. Now, Mary Lou, I don't do this, but I've seen these drugs. You just take a shot, and I lose weight, and it's great, and I don't have to do anything extra. Give me another shot, please, all right? And then, right? All we got to do is all go get shots. We'll all lose weight, and we'll be fantastic. Physical activity is really not that important. What do you think?
Well, if all the calories come in and no calories go out, there's going to be a balance, and we're trying to avoid that. So the standard recommendations are a minimum of 30 minutes a day for adults, 5 times a week, and for children, 60 minutes a day. So this isn't optional. This is something we need to work into our daily plan, just think about how lives have evolved over the centuries where people used to really do a lot of physical labor. Now we have to intentionally work in that physical activity into our day, or that calorie balance will always be too high for, toward weight gain.
All right. Now, 30 minutes of what?
Well, you can choose. I mean, walking is good. If you do more high intensity activities, you can do a little less time. But walking is fine, at a brisk pace, about 2 miles an hour. We're not trying to get people, doing bodybuilding, for instance, necessarily, although it is good to have a combination of the aerobic cardiovascular activity and the muscle strengthening activity in your weekly workout. So I think we just have to put a priority on exercise in our lives. We've let it kind of slide and said, that's just an optional thing, and it needs to be part of our daily routine.
All right. Let's go back to the store quick here, Mary Lou, before we finish up with you. What isn't expensive right now? Are there some good things that just aren't expensive right now that we should maybe kind of, I should get that over there?
Well, I think buying in season is a very good thing. You mentioned the farmers markets earlier, and if you buy in season, you're going to get better prices. I also think looking for store specials and coupons can be very, very helpful. The one thing we want to caution is don't buy something because it's on special, because oftentimes it's a name brand, and if you bought the generic brand, you could still get it cheaper than the store brand or the name brand on special. The other thing I'd like to point out about shopping is unit pricing. I think this is a underknown tip that people don't realize, and that is, I'll just give you an example. Say you have two packages of food. Say it's cereal. $5 for 10 ounces or $3 for 3 ounces. What's the better buy? All you have to do is take the price and divide it by the weight of the product. So $5 divided by 10 ounces is 50 cents per ounce. The smaller package, which you say, I wouldn't have to spend as much money, $3 divided by 3 ounces is $1 an ounce. So if you buy the smaller package, you're paying twice as much per serving for your product. So I think unit pricing is something that people don't really understand, or they say, I don't like math, I don't want to figure this out. Oftentimes it's actually printed on the little shelf tags, or you can get an app on your phone and it'll calculate it for you. Because sometimes on those shelf tags, they'll put one brand in quarts and another brand in ounces and another brand in grams. And you say, now how can I compare these?
Yes.
So if you have an app on your phone, you can just plug it in. And you can also do some of your planning time by looking at prices of items in the grocery store and do your own calculations. I did it on pistachios just the other day. At one store, they were 96 cents per ounce. At the other store, they were 72 cents per ounce. So guess where I'm buying my pistachios?
How about it? The other thing along those lines is you need to really pay attention to the labels when you're looking at the nutritional values or the nutritional component, because like candy is famous for this. It's like only 110 calories per serving. And it's like, wow, that's fantastic. I can eat this candy bar. Oh no, the candy bar has 5 servings. It's like, wait a second. So you do need to, I do think they try to kind of fool you a little bit sometimes with that stuff.
Yes. Right? And that was a complaint about nutrition labeling, and through FDA changes some of the sodas, especially that, like that 20-ounce soda I mentioned, they said that was 2.5 servings. Well, not many people are thinking about that.
No.
So they changed it to the full bottle as the serving.
And,
so,
yeah, and I have noticed that. And even with
realistic.
The candy stuff, they've gotten much better where it's like, all right, four of the mini bars or a serving or whatever it may be.
You bring up a good point, because if you eat that candy out of the bag or those chips or those crackers, how many did I actually eat?
Yeah.
Well, it says 14 is a serving. I have no idea how many I ate. So what we suggest, take some little plastic bags, count them out, put them in the bag, stick it back in the big bag. Then you go and grab for one serving instead of just eat until I think I'm full.
I like that idea. I also, I will say there are some things that they are doing that can help us in terms of that proportional allocation. Like they now have the smaller soda cans that you can purchase, and it's like, okay, if I'm, you know, I really love my soda and I don't know if I can live without it, well, can you maybe go to the 8 or 10 ounce versus the 16 ounce? And I mean, that will make a difference over time. Obviously better if you can get it out of your diet, or at least really limit it to very special occasions. But short of that, at least getting the consumption significantly less is a step in the right direction.
Yes, and portion size, I think, is a very important concept. And we really do talk about that a lot, because it's very easy to eat mindlessly. So we're talking about using measuring cups, pre-portioning, like I mentioned, just being aware of how much a portion size is. Like a typical meat portion can be the size of the palm of your hand. A lot of people would look at that and say, oh, I eat two or three times that amount. So we're trying to scale back our portions and realize that less is fine.
Now, it is okay to eat those bigger portions if your football team or baseball team is struggling, right? Is that not the way that works?
No.
I thought those calories didn't count.
You
can eat that whole bag of chips if the Steelers just aren't taking care of the football on that given Sunday. No?
Well, maybe those if you're a football player, you can eat it because you're burning the calories.
That is
if you're
true.
Sitting on the couch, probably not.
He's sitting on
I'm
the couch.
I'm burning a few calories when I jump up and down and throw stuff at the TV, probably not as many as I need. Yeah.
Mary Lou, my last question. What are good replacements for beef? All right, now I'm not a vegetarian. I like beef. But again, I've been to the beef aisle recently. I'm looking at these prices like, holy smokes, that's ridiculous. What can I replace beef with? Is there anything? Please don't say tofu.
Well, for ground beef dishes, you can use something. It's called textured vegetable protein. It's little bits of soy that you can rehydrate and mix in with your spaghetti sauce, your sloppy joe, beef stroganoff, whatever. For solid meats, that's a little tougher, I think. I think maybe a different strategy would be buy a smaller package and share it with more people and increase the amounts of the other portions on your plate. So more fruits, more vegetables, more grains, and less meat. And that's going to be good for you overall. We're probably getting at least our protein needs, if not more. So if we cut back a little bit and maybe add some of these non-meat sources of protein, like we talked about, the beans, the dairy, the cheese, cottage cheese, nuts and seeds and eggs, that are lower cost, then you can help balance the budget that way.
That's common sense. Yeah.
Stir fry is a good way to stretch your beef.
Yeah, there's an idea.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Lots of veggies and even fruits in a stir fry and a little bit of meat.
Again, extension.psu.edu, tons of great information there. Check out the Nutrition Links program there. Get some more. That might be something that, I want to try that. Mary Lou, thanks for coming in today, and thanks for your goodies.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun.